We'll go in order. Kedushas Lady for Vayakel, Pekuda, and Para Tafshanai and Ches. Okay, let's start with Vayakel. Plenty to see in a parsha that seems at times repetitive, but there's plenty of depth and insight for the person who's open to looking deep. Okay, so we'll start with the first piece in Vayakel. I do want to get to his piece on Parshas Parah because I think it's very fundamental for Torah and for life. But we'll start with a little Vayakel, a little Pekuda, and then Parah. Okay, we'll begin from the beginning. Eila hadvarim asher tziva Hashem la'asos hasam sheishas yamim te'aseh v'chulu. The parsha begins with Moshe gathering Bnei Yisrael. That's what the word Vayakel means. Moshe assembled the Jews. And he told them about Shabbos. For 6 days, your work shall be done. Te'aseh. And of course, on the seventh day, you shall rest. And what is the Gemara, what is the Pasuk rather, where it expounds it? What does the Pasuk give as the example of the Malacha that you can't do? The Torah doesn't list all 39 Malachos. Which Malacha is emphasized here at the beginning of our Parsha? Lo Sevaru Eish, B'chol Mosh Vosechem, B'yom HaShabbos. Lighting a fire on Shabbos is the example that the Torah gives of something you can't do on Shabbos. Of course, we know that there are 39 things you can't do on Shabbos. The only one that's explicitly stated here is don't light a fire. Where do we see the other 38 malachos? Where do we know that, in fact, there are 39 malachos? So that's hinted to. That's hinted to over here. Because the pasuk says, Eile hadvar. Okay, take a look inside. Vidarshu chazal, says the Kedushas Levi, Eile hadvarim, that refers to the lamites malachos. Why? Because Eile is gematria 36. Aha. So that alludes to the 39 malachos? How do you get 39 malachos out of the word Eile hadvar? Baal Turim explains, others explain. Eile is 36. Hadvarim, well, dvarim is plural, so that picks up two more. And it could have just said Eile dvarim. Eile hadvarim, the head gives you three. Gives you a third one. So we have Eile hadvarim is 39. Okay, you got it? Eile is 36. Dvarim being plural means at least two more things. And then hadvarim, the head is darshan to add an additional thing. So we have 39 malachos that a person can't do on Shabbos. Okay, fine. That's how Chazal saw in these words a hint to the 39 malachos, which are modeled after the maleches machsheves, the skilled, intentional labor that was performed in the Mishkan. Klomar Eila shu merumez al achitzon. Says the Radich word, the word Eila implies something superficial or something negative. It says in Eicha, in the first paragraph of Eicha, it says, over these do I cry. Right? Eila always has a negative connotation. We had it by the Chet Egel. What did they say about the Egel? Eila, right? Eila Elohecha Yisrael. This is your God. This is your new leader. Moshe made it and come back. Eila Elohecha Yisrael. So Eila is usually not a good thing. Ve'ela is more positive. Eila has a more negative connotation. So what's the negative connotation here? What's negative about performing work? So the Arizal explained, Al-Eila nibochia, anachnu svichim letakin osam ayidei malacha. That through the negative Eila, whatever Eila means in a negative sense, we need to fix it through malacha. What does that mean? Let's keep reading. Vizehu la'asos lashon tikun. Because of certain mistakes that have been made, going all the way back to Gan Eden, man is forced to work. He's got to work. He's got to plow. He's got to plant. The first 11 malachos of Shabbos are all about preparing bread. We're not in Gan Eden anymore. You're not plucking loaves of bread off the trees. You're going to have to work. So during the week, a person, Eila, corresponding to the Eila, the negative Eila, a person has Eila, has 39 malachos that he tries to perform. And the asiya, right, la'asos, is sometimes the lashon of tikkun, of fixing, to correct something, or to get something into its optimal state. So during the days of the week, Zehu Bachol, a person is working on what? Being Mevarer the Chitzonim through Malacha. It's good. When a person's busy working, it keeps them out of trouble. Right? On a snow day, people have too much free time, and it gets people into trouble. It's good to be busy. Lasos Lashon Tikun v'Zehu Bachol. Aval b'Shabbos ein Mevarer ha'Chitzonim. But on Shabbos, right, it's a time where the chitzonim, the negative kochos, are driven away by the Shabbos itself. And therefore, explains the Arizal, l'chein asur basiyas malacha. On Shabbos, which is already a spiritually purified and rarefied atmosphere, so you don't need to what? You don't need to do malacha. To to fight back. During the week, when the chitzonim are strong, malaychem. Yid has to fight back. Yid has to be strong. How do we fight back against the chitzonius? We fight back through malacha. Mamish work, right? Through plowing and planting, through engaging the body, it breaks the body in a way that the Yitzhahar is not able to cause trouble for him. On Shabbos, because the chitzonim are driven away, as he mentioned throughout the Zmiros of Shabbos, right, like we say especially by Shal HaShuddis, yeah, we don't allow the Kalvin, the Chatzifin to come in on Shabbos. We drive away the brazen dogs, right? Chitzonius, all of the klipos, all of the tumah. Shabbos, a person is protected, so he doesn't need to work on Shabbos. And because he doesn't need to work, he's not allowed to work. Okay? Let's keep going. Umash Nemar, Gabe Shabbos. So if that's true, that Shabbos is not a time to work, so what does it mean that Shabbos is referred to as Tziva Hashem Lasos? What does it mean, Lasos as a Shabbos? How do you Lasos Shabbos? How do you make Shabbos? Shabbos you don't do. And furthermore, by the Mishkan, interestingly enough, it sometimes says Asher Tziva Hashem Lemor. By the Mishkan, Lemor, the Mishkan is not built through speech, the Mishkan is built through action. So why in Shabbos, which is the time of speech, does the Torah say that Tziva Hashem Lasos, that there's an action that's taking place on Shabbos? I thought Shabbos we don't do actions, that was what we just explained. On Shabbos you don't do malacha. It's also to engage in malacha. And why by the Mishkan does it say Lemor, when it probably by the Mishkan it should say Lasos, that's where the doing is. It does say Lasos many times by the Mishkan. But what's the Lemor by the Mishkan? V'chein hiksha balaturim. And the Baal HaTurim raised this question. So explains our Holy Rabbi the Berditchever. Nira ki afal pi sheva mishkan, shayu oskim b'mitzvos maisios, dahainu malachas ha-mishkan. It's true. The Mishkan was primarily the work of one's hands. The unbelievable craft, the craftsmanship, the artistry of Bezalel and Ahaliyav and these parshios. Amazing. Most of the Mishkan was through the asiyas ha-mishkan, the doing of the Mishkan. Afal pi chein tiknu olam ha-dibor, v'zehu asher tziva Hashem lemor. Says the Berditchever a deep thing. A person sometimes thinks, right now I'm being osek in asiya. I'm involved in physical activity. Right? I'm not using my koach hadibur right now, my power of speech. But says the Berditchever, what you see from the fact that by the Mishkan it says lemor, sometimes our physical actions will either be matakin or, God forbid, damage our speech. I didn't speak. But everything's connected to everything else. When a person does an action, it impacts the world of Dibor. And the reverse is also true. Right? The inverse is also true. On Shabbos, look what he writes. Uv'Shabbos she'enos in malacha rak mitzvos b'dibor. Shabbos, which is a time of speech. Shabbos is a time of speech. Could go in Torah u'tefillah. Shabbos is a time where we daven longer. Shabbos is a time where we use our mouth to learn, to sing Zmiros to Hashem. Ki ikar Torah v'tefillah b'Shabbos, as Chazal tell us. Hafal pichein. Even though we're focusing on speech on Shabbos, mitaknin olam hamaisa. You should realize that it's not just words, but it actually leaves a mark in the world of asiyah. And that's why on Shabbos it says, what? Asher tziva Hashem, lasos. There's an inyan of lasos as a Shabbos. So it's a deep idea, because we don't really understand what it means, the world of speech, the world of action. But essentially what the Berditchever is telling us, we should realize, the takeaway for us on the most simple level, is that when a Jew does something, right, the ripple effect throughout all of the olamos is felt. A person says, I wasn't careful with my actions, right? But I'm very careful how I speak. Well, realize your actions affect your speech. I'm very careful with my speech, right? But I'm not so careful with my actions. But there's always a relationship between things that we can, see that we're having hashpa on, and things that we can't see. You don't understand sometimes the impact that you're having on something. You think I'm directly involved with X, how does that impact Y? And the answer is it does. A Jew needs to realize that Dibor affects Maisa, Maisa affects Dibor, and that's why by the Mishkan, which is primarily a place of Maisa, you find the Lashon of Lemor. And by Shabbos, which is primarily a world of speech, you find the Indian of Lasos as the Shabbos. Okay, it's a deep idea, but something to think about. Okay, the next little piece, a short little piece, let's take a look. Uviyom HaShvi Yel Lachem Kodesh. This is a classic Chassidish of art from the Berditchever. Uvayom HaShvi, on the seventh day, what does the Pasuk say? Yeh Lachem Kodesh. It'll be for you a holy day. Of course, whenever you see the word Lachem, you have to think about what that means, Lachem. Right? There's some parts of my life that are Lachem, and there's parts of my life that are Lachem. In the context of Yom Tov, we say it should be Chatzi Lachem and Chatzi Lachem. Divide up the day. Part of the day should be Lachem, the Yom Tov meals, the feasting, the rejoicing, the physical pleasure that a person gets. Right? And then there's the Lashem, there's the davening, there's the learning. Okay? The tzaddikim would always say it was the other way around. Right? My eating was for Hashem. My eating was for Hashem. And the Torah and the Tefillah, that's Lachem, that's for me. That's the good stuff. Okay, for regular people, it's the other way around. Right? The Lachem is when I engage my physicality, and the Lashem is the purely spiritual aspects of any given day. Okay? But on Shabbos, says the Berditchever, the Lachem becomes Kodesh. The food that you eat on Shabbos is different than the food that you eat on Monday or Tuesday. Look at the words inside. Very short piece, but a very deep yesod. Uve'yom ha'shvi yiyeh lachem kodesh. Now, this is partially a commandment to us, and partially just a giloy of a metzias. Right? Meaning, partially we're being told on Shabbos, make sure that you engage physicality in a more lofty way, because it is Shabbos. That's the command aspect of it. But then there's also the fact that's being stated here. But on Shabbos, when a Yid eats cholent on Shabbos, even if he eats it in the same gashmias way that he eats his pizza on Tuesday, it's still more holy. It's a different thing. Partially, it's telling us, make sure you make it holy, because it's Shabbos. And partially, it's telling us, it is holy, because it is Shabbos. Al derech chetzio la'ashem v'chetzio lachem. Says the Berditchever, using this yesod from the Gemara in Pesachim, right, that by Yom Tov we usually split, half for you, half for Hashem. V'shabbos halachem hu gam kein la'ashem. Even the lachem is dedicated to Hashem. And that's what it means, yiyeh lachem kodesh. Halachem yiyeh gam kein kodesh. On Shabbos, even the physical activities are Shabbistic. It's a different thing. Yeah. It's a different thing. Right, so there's a mitzvah, so it's just being a different thing.
He says it's a different thing.
Matt says
it's a different.
What's the thing, you know? It's Shabbos. It's Shabbos. You're doing it to be Mekayim, the midst of owning Shabbos. That's what's different. So in the week you're being Mekayim, I'm just in the mood to eat pizza. Right? On Shabbos, it's owning Shabbos. Okay, you may get the same physical hana from it, but it's a totally different context. Right? When a person eats in the context of Shabbos, Hashem says, he's eating Lechavit Shabbos, eating, it's owning Shabbos, not Kavit Shabbos, owning Shabbos. Beautiful. Okay? All right, it's a powerful idea. It's a short idea. Okay, let's turn to Parshas Pekudei. There's more to see here. There's actually a very beautiful piece here. If you see, the next piece is about the question we learned last year from the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, a question that many of the Mefarshim are trying to figure out. Why by the Mishkan, when they collected the donations for the Mishkan, it says that the collection was Dayam, there was enough, Vihoser, and there was extra. So, well, which is it? If there's enough, that means there's not extra. If there's extra, that means there's more than enough. How can you say dayam v'hoser, that there's enough and then there's also extra? That's a famous question. We're not going to learn it inside right now. And then the piece after that, the concluding section of Parshas Vayakel, you can see it's Torah from his son. B'shem b'noah menoach ha'mefursam, ish haloki, kadosh, marina of Rav Meir Zatzal. It's the son of the Berditchever. Okay. Also, there's a very nice pshat here, explaining why the end of Parshas Kisisa leads into Vayakel. Talks about Moshe Rabbeinu's glow, and how that's continued and hinted to here at the beginning of Vayakel. And he also talks about, in this piece, we're not going to read it inside right now, but he talks about the relationship between Shabbos and Mishkan. Again, if I were to ask you, tell me in one word what Vayakel and Pekudei is about, you would say, Mishkan. But it opens with what we just learned, Hashesh Yisrael Mateos HaMalacha. It starts with Shabbos. What's the relationship between Shabbos and Mishkan? Explains the Berditchever's son, that each one of them testifies to the presence of the Creator in our life. When a Jew rests on Shabbos, what's he saying? He's saying, I believe that God created the world and rested in 7 days. When I build the Mishkan, I'm also acknowledging and creating a space, so to speak, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my life. And there's tremendous connections between the building of the Mishkan and the way that the world was built in the Sheishas Yimei Bereishis, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested on Shabbos. Okay? Which is why Shabbos and the Mishkan, when they collide, Shabbos wins. Right? You don't build the Mishkan on Shabbos. Chazal make that point very clearly. Okay, let's go to the beginning of Parshas Pekudei. There's a little bit more to see in Pekudei, so let's see. The first piece on Pekudei is very interesting. It's the type of piece that we would usually skip over, but let's do it today. Let's try to do it. Okay, the first piece on Pekudei. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. This is the enumeration, the count of all that was collected for the Mishkan. Okay, let's see. And then it goes through, it says we had this much gold and this much silver. It goes through all of the things that were collected by Moshe Rabbeinu on behalf of the Mishkan. Okay? Eile. Eile fekudei ha-mishkan. Right, these are the accounts of the Mishkan. Okay, let's see. Yavuar ka'asher kasavnu le'el. As was mentioned above, again, we didn't see it fully inside, but I just told you about it. Dimalechas ha-mishkan hayaba chachmus elokus v'tziruf osios v'shemos ha-kadoshim k'mo b'briyas shamayim v'aretz. The Gemara says in Brachos, Daf Nun Hei, that when Bezalel was making the Mishkan, he knew the secrets of the letters, of the Osios, the Aleph Beis, the same way that God created the world. Which is the Chazal's way of telling us in the Gemara in Brachos that the Mishkan is a microcosm of the entire universe. And therefore, let's read the words again inside. Molechas the Mishkan has Chachmas Elokos, the supernal wisdom of God, Vitziruf Osios, and the arrangement of letters, Vishemos HaKadoshim, and the holy names, again, everything that we find in Torah and we find in the world, we find in the Mishkan. Kamo b'briyas shamayim v'aretz, just like creation itself. Kamo sha'amru chazal, brachos nun hei, yodei haya b'tzalel v'chulu. B'tzalel knew how to be mitzarif the osios, how to join letters together, the spiritual kochos of letters, to bring things to remarkable expression. And the Mishkan was a wondrous place, physically. It was a supernatural physical place. Okay, a bridge between shamayim and aretz, which exactly is what it's trying to be a microcosm of. Okay, now look what he says here. This is super interesting. V'yinei b'maisa bereshis ksiv, bereshis bara elokim. We know that HaKadosh Baruch originally intended to make the world with what? Midas hadin. Bereshis bara elokim. It doesn't say bereshis bara Hashem. It says bereshis bara elokim. K'mo sha'amru chazal, mitchila olav machshava v'chulu. Originally Hashem intended that the world should be built through midas hadin. Right? A strict letter of the law. Hashem then, kiviyachol, realized that's not going to work. V'achar kach siv, eila todos hashamayim va'aretz bihi baram. These are the chronicles of creation, heaven and earth. Right? It's the hi baram is spelled with a small hey. And he says, Kabbalistically, this alludes to what? The small hey alludes to zemaram is al shem aleph and dalid nun and yud. In Hashem's name, yud kei vav kei, the last letter hey, alludes to the sphere of Malchus, which is connected to the name of Hashem, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yod. Okay, so we started off with the name Elohim, and then the Pasuk hints to what? To the Shem, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yod, which is also Midas Adin, but maybe a little softer. V'acher kach siv b'yom asos Hashem Elohim. And then it switches over to what? Not just Elohim, not just the name of Adnos, which also is Hashem's mastery over the world, but Hashem Elohim, Mamash Yudke Vavke. The name of Chesed Rachmim, Hashem Elokim, the combination, Yichud Havaya Elokim. So says the Reditshavar, I would like to suggest that when Bezalel was making the Mishkan, he also went from Elokim to Adnos to Hashem Elokim. Because the Mishkan is a microcosm of creation. Where, how do you see that? Kamo kein Yichud Moshe u'Bezalel b'malechas ha-Mishkan, b'misbar asher nifkad v'nimna, when Moshe and Bezalel, eila fekudei ha-Mishkan. As we make an account of the Mishkan, right? Make sure you count the letters. Don't just count the gold and the silver. Count all these letters here. Pay close attention. Shekivein Moshe liyachid b'tchilim lechas ha-mishkan Shem Elokim. Moshe begins with Shem Elokim, then he goes to Shem Adnos, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yod, and then he goes to the name Yud Kevavke. Where do we see that? Look what he writes. It's amazing. V'zeo shenirmez b'kosov Eile pekudei ha-mishkan. The parsha begins with three words. Eila, it's actually a fei, not a pei. Eila fikudei ha-mishkan. These are the accounts of the Mishkan. What's the Rashi Tevos of Eila fikudei ha-mishkan? Aleph, pei, hei is 86. Right? Aleph, pei, hei is gematria 86, which is gematria what? Elokim. We start off, Bereshis bar Elokim. Right? Aleph, pei, hei is gematria Elokim. Shehu pei vav b'gematria Elokim. Okay? What are the Sofei Tevos of Eile Fekudei HaMishkan? It ends with Hey Yud Nun, which is 65. 65 is the Gematria of Aleph, Dalid, Nun, and Yud. Okay? I don't think we've ever seen a Berditchver like this. I told you the first year. I told you he has a lot of different styles. So the Rashi Tevos allude to what? The original plan was Elohim. Then the Kodesh Baruch, the Sofei Tevos was what? Is Gematria Aleph, Dalid, Nun, and Yud, which is another name of Hashem. And then afterwards, what does it say? Afterwards, he says, you know what? Just like Hashem decided we need Hashem Elokim, Yud Kei Vav Kei, so Bezalel and Moshe understood that as well. V'achar kach v'shem Havaya Baruch Hu, Shem Ma HaKadosh, HaNirmaz B'Kasuv Mishkan HaEdus. Okay? Here's what he says. Eile fekudei hamishkan, rashei tevos alokim, sofei tevos alef dalet nun and yod. And then the next two words, mishkan ha'edos, is mem hei, is 45. What does 45 mean? So he says, no, you have to understand. 45, if you spell out Hashem's name, yod, kei, vav, kei, you spell out the letters. So what was basic expansion of yod, kei, vav, kei, right, if you add up, yod, how do you spell yod? Yod, vav, dalet. So that's 20. Right? Yod is 10, vav is 6, dalet is 4, so that's 20. And then you spell hey, aleph. Hey, right? Hey, aleph, how do you spell hey? So hey is 5 and aleph is 1, so that's 6, so 26. Yeah? So we'll have another hey, aleph at the end for the final hey. So what are we up to? We're up to 32. And then we have vav, aleph, vav is another 13, is 45. So if you spell out yod, hey, aleph, vav, aleph, vav, hey, aleph, you spell out the letters like that, it's gematria 45. Right, it's an expansion, it's the most basic expansion of God's name, which means that Yud-Kevav-Ke is spreading outwards. So he says, Mishkan, Ha'edos, the next two words in the Pasuk, Mem-Hei, is hinting to Hashem Havaya, hinting to Hashem's name Yud-Kevav-Ke. Very interesting. And then he says, the Sofei Tevos of Mishkan Ha'edos, Nun and Taf, is 450, which is 10 times 45. Right, 450 is 10 times this expansion of God's name. As if to say that Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is expanding through all of the Sviros, through all of the Olamos. Okay? So just realize, says the Berditchera, when you start to build the Mishkan, you have to mimic everything of creation. If creation began with Elohim, then the Mishkan begins with Elohim. If creation continued with the Shem Adnus, Aleph and Dalet and Nun and Yud, so that's where the Mishkan continues. If creation then switched over to Hashem Elohim, so too, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei has to start expanding at the beginning of the creation of the Mishkan. Very powerful and deep idea. Okay, next piece is a little less esoteric. I hope you got that last piece, but if not, let's go on. O Yavuar, Eile Fakudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEidos, Asher Fakad Al Pi Moshe. Dinei Amru Chazal, De'ein HaBracha Shora B'davar HaSafur V'HaShakul. Something that is counted, something that is enumerated. When you're paying too much attention, right, to the dollars in your bank account, when a person's paying too much attention to anything that he has in this world, there can't be bracha on that thing. Bracha comes for things that are what? That are hidden from the eye. Don't look at it. If you pay too much attention to it, that's as if you're being too much in control of it. And if you're too much in control of it, the way the Chazal say that Haman had his bank account, he had the exact amount of his bank account on his chest. I don't know if that means he had a tattoo with the amount of money he has in the bank on his chest. I don't know if that means he wore like, his bank, I don't know, his checkbook around his neck. Whatever it was, he was very much aware of his possessions. And he was very much aware of the fact that there was one possession called Mordechai that he couldn't get. A Rasha is always trying to be in control. A person who's able to look away is a sign that I trust that Hashem is running the show. And when I look away and I'll look back later, oh, I'll see tremendous bracha. You know why? Because I let Hashem take care of it instead of taking care of it myself. So the Gemara tells us in Tanis, Ein habracha shora bedavar safur v'shakul. Something that's counted or enumerated can't be zocha to bracha. Right? Bracha is found by those things which are samui min ha'ayin in the language of Chazal. Hidden from the eye. So now we have a problem. What's the problem? What problem do we encounter in Parshas Pekudei? It's all about counting the cash. How much silver? How much gold? How many possessions were given to the Mishkan? Part of it is obviously to show that the people building the Mishkan weren't taking a cut, that everything was accounted for. Part of this is an important lesson in monetary integrity. In fact, if Shlomo Volbe writes, yeah, well, Shor means to, like, Hashras Hashchina. Right? To be Shor means to be present. To dwell. Ain a bracha Shor. The bracha can't be, be present by things that are too precisely watched. So Rav Volbe actually says that the book of Shemos begins with monetary integrity. He brings a proof from a Chazal that Yocheved, we see that Yocheved had monetary integrity, she was honest in business. And then the book of Shemos ends with monetary integrity. It shows you that Jews have to be very careful with how they use their money, how they spend their money, taking good care of their possessions. Rav Volbe writes that in one of his svarim. Very interesting idea. But it's a little bit strange, because Jews, in general, again, we try not to look so much. Don't pay so much attention. You have to know every penny that you have accounted for. It's gaivadik, it's controlling. It's a person who says, Kochi va'otzim yodi asali asachayel hazeh. I earn this. That's why I know how much I have. I don't look. Better not to look. person who's checking his stocks every second, you know, watching his Bitcoin, buy in, and you let it sit. You let Hashem take care of business, you know? Let Hashem take care of things. So let's see. So then the question is, V'nekan b'malachas ha-mishkan, dinase al pi cheshbon, v'al pi mida ha-ktuva. So here by the Mishkan, where everything is counted, and everything is precise, ach af al pi chen ha-yabracha shoraba. And yet the Mishkan somehow, despite being so precisely counted, every penny was accounted for, and yet it was still able to be a place, obviously, of tremendous bracha, as is seen from just the physical construction of the Mishkan. It became a place of Ashras HaShechina. So how could that be? It seems like a contradiction. Usually things that are samui min ha'ayin, which are hidden from the eye, are zochet to bracha. So he explains by quoting a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. In Shir HaShirim it says, Einayich brechos b'cheshbon. Einayich, your eyes, brechos b'cheshbon, are like the brechos, are like the wellsprings, right, are like the pools in cheshbon. Cheshbon is the name of a place. Hinei shoresh ayin ra hu kamo bila. What does this pasuk mean? Your eyes are like the pools, like the bodies of water of cheshbon. What does that mean? The root of ayin ra, he says, is found by Bilam. Bilam, who is actually blind in one eye, according to Chazal. That wherever Bilam would place his eye, he would curse that thing. Whenever he looked at something, he brought, not bracha, but klala. He brought me'era, he brought klala, he brought curses to that place. Because when a rasha looks at something, he only sees it through his physical eyes. Bilam had the ability, right? The one-eyed Bilam had the ability to only see things with one eye, to see the physical reality and not to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand within it. And therefore he separated each item that he looked upon from its Makor HaChaim, from the true connection to its true source. Machmas Shayolot Acher Oso Adavar, Vayadavar Nechshav Be'enav, Avalo Istakel B'Koach HaShem Yisbarach HaShor Yesh B'Socho. Because when Bilam would see the newspaper and he'd read the stock market, he wouldn't see the Yad Hashem. He would say, oh, this guy's a good investor. This is a good company. Right? You'll get a nice dividend if you buy into this company. He could only see it in one way. And that brings klala. When a person sees deeply into something, but only sees the Yad Adam and not the Yad Hashem, that separates the thing from its source. He doesn't realize that Hashem is truly responsible for every detail of reality. And it causes that thing causes a hashras klala that takes place on that in that place or on that thing. Aval gabe zeri Yisrael, however, by the Jewish people, einayich brechos b'cheshbon, af bedaver sheish bo cheshbon. Even something that we count, uval leida minyanu mispar, and we come to a calculation. We know the exact amounts as are enumerated here in Parshas Pekudei. Afal pichein. Eino mazik istaklus hazeh. When a Moshe Rabbeinu counts the donations to the Mishkan, because he's an honest person, right? But he's paying too much attention, it's going to ruin things. Not when Moshe Rabbeinu counts. Moshe counts, and not for a second does he think that Klal Yisrael gave him these possessions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these possessions. Machma she'ish ha'Yisraeli b'chol davar asher ro'u mistakel, az ro'a b'koach ha'borei asher nimtza bo. The first piece in Likutei Maran. That a Jew has to see the seichel shel kol davar, has to see the HaKadosh Baruch Hu within everything. That a Jew can actually look at his stocks and still say, as we mentioned the other night in the Vilna Gaon shir, the Vilna Gaon would work and work and work and work and work like crazy to understand the sugya, mamish with the depths of iyun, and then the Gra, when he finally would get it, he would say, ah, Hashem gave me a gift. A gift? You just worked on it for 3 days straight. You didn't eat for 3 days. You didn't sleep for 3 days. What's the gift? Because the Vilna Gaon recognized that despite all of my efforts, despite playing close attention, because I'm a person who cares about the details, as Moshe Rabbeinu clearly teaches us in this week's Parsha. But not for a second did Moshe say, oh, I'm the best accountant, I'm the best fundraiser, I'm the best. Moshe understood, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kevin shemad b'kadavar ha'hu l'sharsho, and by reattaching each donation to its source, oz b'ri'iyah halazu mamshich bracha v'shefa mekor elyon el'adavar ho. Not only does Moshe not take away from it, but when the tzaddik puts his eyes upon something gashmi, he imbues it with kedusha. So everything that Moshe was counting was becoming even more holy through Moshe's perspective. And that's what it means, einayich brechos. Your eyes, brechos. What does that mean? Sheinayich nasu kmo brechos uma ayanos hashba af bedavar cheshbon. Einayich brechos b'cheshbon. Your eyes cause hashbal, cause a continued influx of what? Of kedusha, of holiness, of heavenly goodness, even where? Even b'cheshbon, even when you count things up. Because an emistic Jew knows that even as he's a responsible businessman, and he's not hefker with his money, he doesn't treat his investments casually. He understands that Hashem has given him that money and he needs to invest it well, as much as he understands. But never for a second does he think that it's his own chachm or it's his own seichel that allows him to be matzliach. V'zeo shen amar, and that's what our pasuk is telling us. Eile fakudei ha-mishkan. V'mishkan shenimna kol davar kama pam v'nasa b'cheshvon. The Mishkan where everything is counted so many times and everything is enumerated. Afal pichein haya bracha v'ashchina shorba. Yet this place that is so precisely counted is the place of Ashras HaShchina. V'adrab, shohaya ha-minyan tzorech revoa. And all the counting was just to be able to say, wow, we want to know exactly what we're able to give to you, HaKadosh Baruch. V'zeo sho'amar asher pakad al-pi Moshe. And that's why the Pasuk says, these are the counts that were counted by who? By Moshe Rabbeinu. Ah, Moshe, the Heilige Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu. Machmas sheyotza ha-minyan mipi Moshe. Moshe who was bedvekes v'kadusha al-yona. A person who's so deeply attached. Chever, which of the concept of the Sviros is connected to Moshe Rabbeinu? We spoke about it on Purim. Amalek is the klipa of this idea. And power is the klipa of this idea. And Shabbos is the holy expression of this idea. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the personality who represents this idea. Das, that's right, das, attachment. Das means dveikus, attachment. So one who's zavak and Hashem can engage in counting money and he doesn't for a second lose his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'adrab, al yado nitoisef bracha. Through Moshe Rabbeinu, bracha was in fact increased and not, God forbid, lost. Okay? A very important and beautiful idea. I'm realizing now that there's so many good pieces in this week's parsha. I'm not sure what to do with myself. We're in big trouble. Okay, so let's do the next piece. We have to do the next piece. It's very important. It's a little bit of a Pesach piece. Okay, let's see if we can do two more quick pieces in Pekudei. And then I still want to get to a little Parshas Par. So let's see. O Yevuar Eile Fekudei HaMishkan Mishkan HaEdus. Says the Berditchver. Ki Yeshnei Bechinos B'Avodas HaBorei Baruchu. There are two ways that a person comes to recognize Hashem. Bechina Achas Shanu Roen Nisim V'Neflosov Shemeshane Dvar Mativim. We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to control the natural order of things. And if Hashem wants to overturn nature, Dam Tzordei HaKinim Aru, if Hashem wants to do unusual things within nature, miracles, splits the sea, turns water into dry land, whatever it is, a person could certainly come to recognize Hashem through that. Mizen nikar, shu yizbarach Moshe bakol, v'osa b'hem kirtzono. It's a clear indicator that Hashem is in charge, Hashem runs the world, He does what He wants. If He wants water to be dry land, it'll be dry land. If He wants water to turn back into water, He'll turn it back into water. Whatever Hashem wants. U'mechayavin kol bru'av la'avdo b'yira. And there's no question that when we see the open hand of Hashem, the nisim and neflos, it inspires a Jew to what? To feel the awe that one should have for God. That's one way to get to know Hashem. Uvechina beiz, kashanu masigin gedulaso mitzad shu habore hakol v'ru'yim la'avdo. The other way is just to say, you know what? I don't see any open miracles. Never saw Kriyas Yamsuf with my eyes. I never saw the miracles of the Eser Makos. But you know what I do see? I see the fact that I exist. I see the fact that my body, the complexity of my body is beyond comprehension to any human being. And science can study and get smarter and smarter and smarter, but they can never reproduce their own version of the human eye. Right? They can never reproduce, they can never create in the way that God creates. And therefore, I can recognize the godless Hashem just from His creations, from being one of His creations. Mitzad shehu ha-borei ha-kol, because He created everything. And therefore, He's fit to be served, regardless of how much He interacts with my world. Even if He stays at a distance, and I don't see open miracles, I still recognize that He is the Creator, and He's responsible. What's the difference between these two approaches? Recognizing Hashem through nisim and neflos, versus recognizing Kadosh Baruch Hu as Creator who's responsible for creating reality. Berditchver says, "Va'hefresh b'neihem hu, ki kishe'ein makirin gedula sorak mi'maisav v'neflosav." If I only recognize Hashem through His wondrous miracles, k'mo anisim sh'asav mitzrayim uvayam, hanisim heim gedolim be'einav, ki ein makir gedula sorak ha'yedeihem. The problem with recognizing Hashem through the miracles is I'm like too caught up in the special effects. I'm so busy paying attention and being wowed by the miracles that they're almost overshadowing the God Himself. Right? Instead of saying, wow, did you see, you know, what Hashem did, you say, wow, did you see that plague of frogs? That was crazy. You're caught up in the nisim and the flows, and in a certain sense, it doesn't allow you to properly recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu just for being HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're impressed by His actions, not by Him. But when I pause and I focus on what? God as Creator. So then I'm not so impressed by miracles. Of course He can do miracles. If I only know Hashem through the miracles, I'm overwhelmed and wowed by the miracles. If I know that God is Creator, responsible for all, so then miracles aren't so impressive. It's not so strange. It's not surprising. Why? What are you so shocked by? God made a miracle. God also made the sun. What's your point? They are also miracles. For sure they are. But the point is, I'm not impressed. The nisim don't distance me from Hashem because I'm not. Let's just read the words again, right? Im kein ein hanes gadol kol kach ve'enav ki ein zechida shabori akol yachol lasos v'nivram shabori kiritzono. It's not a surprise that Hashem could do whatever He wants. If Hashem wants the sun to stay in the sky an extra 12 hours, He can do that. And if Hashem wants to make a plague take place, yeah, well, nothing surprising about that. Kevin shubaro sam. So what about the nes impresses me? The fact that He can do it doesn't impress me. I'm very much aware of Him. I know He can do anything because I recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for everything in creation. What excites me about the miracle is simply the fact that He's willing to do that for me. The Avas Yisrael that's expressed, the love that He has for us, that He would overturn nature on my behalf. I'm not impressed that He can overturn nature. My relationship with Him is much deeper than that. But I'm wowed by the fact that, wow, He was willing to overturn nature for me in that way at that time. So with these two approaches, we can begin to understand a little bit about Pesach and Shavuos. That's why it's really important we learn this piece. Hinei b'tzeis Yisrael mimitzrayim, when the Jewish people left Egypt, ha'yibekatnus ha'secha. The Jewish people didn't really know Hashem as Hashem. What they knew about Hashem was the miracles that they just experienced for a year. Hikiru gedulas habore rak al yedei nisim v'neflos. Ach b'matan Torah b'Sinai, but by the time they got to Sinai, nizdachu chumriusam, their physicality had been refined. Vehikiru gedulas habore baruchu b'bechina habeiz haniskalel. By the time they got to Sinai, they recognized God for being God. They heard the voice of Hashem at Har Sinai. They had communication with Hashem. It wasn't the sights and the sounds, right? It was the presence of Hashem. Mitzad shehu borei hakol, anochi Hashem Elokecha. Recognize me. V'yedu l'mafreya shagam anitzum anaflos shasam etzrayim uveyam. And then they recognized by having that more mature understanding, recognition of Hashem, they realized, looking back now in retrospect, that all of the miracles that took place in Mitzrayim ain't a pela mitzad anes. It's not so impressive that God can do this. Of course he can do anything. We know that clearly now. What were they impressed about? What was impressive that we were on the 49th level of Tumah and you did that for us? That's so generous of you. Right, it's the Rachmanis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we pointed out earlier in the week. Rashi tells us on Chumash, in Shemos Perek Yud Beis, that the translation of Pesach is not Passover, but the word Pesach means Rachmanis, Chamal. It's the Rachmanis Shabbo. It's the Avos Yisrael that was expressed that is super super impressive and overwhelming. It's not the miracle. Of course God can do miracles. It's not a chiddush. It's because you don't see it often, so you're like, so overwhelmed by it, you're wowed by it. Of course Hashem can do miracles. So with this says the Reditchever, and I'm going to start to summarize in a moment, why on Pesach do we solely eat matzah? And the karbanos are also with matzah on Pesach, no chametz whatsoever. However, by Shavuos, what's the karban of Shavuos? The shtei halechem is brought dafka chametz. The karban, the bread that accompanies the karban of Shavuos is bread. So you would think we left Mitzrayim, right? We eat matzah on Pesach. Pesach matzah represents defeating the Yetzer Hara. Pesach is the food of Amuna. We would think when we get to Shavuos, when we finally get there 7 weeks later, for sure we're going to eat matzah. And yet we go back to chametz. Why in Shavuos are we eating chametz? Why is the karban, the accompanying breads of the karban, the shtei halechem of Shavuos, why is it bread?
And furthermore, the third piece in the puzzle, says the Berditcher, why is the Karban Toda a mix? The Karban Toda is a mix, 40 loaves, a mix of chametz and matzah. So why? What's the message of matzah? Why in Shavuos is it chametz? Why is the Karban Toda a combination of the two? So he says a beautiful idea. He says, "Vahu ki matzah romezes l'derach asher habruim ovdim alabori esbach mitad nifloso." Matzah represents recognizing the miracles of Hashem. Why? Because matzah is very simple. A simpleton is very impressed by God's miracles, by nisim and nifloos. The seichel katan, the katnas hamochin, the gullus hadas that the Jews were experiencing in Mitzrayim, allowed them to appreciate miracles, but they didn't really know Hashem yet. So they had a very simplistic understanding of God. They were impressed by his superpowers, right? By his miraculous abilities. Okay. However, when we come to Har Sinai, jump to the next paragraph. Aval kishigiul Har Sinai. When they reached Har Sinai, they came to recognize what amitiuso. They recognized the amitos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the true reality of God. V'lo nachshav lahem hanes mitzad hanes atzmo. They weren't impressed by the nes itself; they were impressed by Hashem, and that's represented by what? By the more complex chametz, by the loaf of bread, which accompanies the shtei halechem, the carbon shtei halechem of Shavuos. Why, by a carbon toda, do you bring a mix of both? Because by a carbon toda, Thanksgiving offering, when a person experiences something of a salvation, albeit within the natural order, so it has both elements. On the one hand, he's impressed by the miracle. On the other hand, he's aware of the fact that this is, of course, Hashem could always do this. And therefore, every time we say thank you to Hashem, right, it's really a dual thank you. Thank you for performing some type of miracle, even if it's a natural miracle, right, like making my heart function or my kidneys start working again, or whatever it is that the person was going through, being able to travel through a dangerous area, whatever the Dalet Tzrichim Lehodos, right, the four people who bench Gomel. The people who bring a carbon totem. So it's a combination of recognizing the miracle of Hashem in my life, and at the same time also recognizing what? Recognizing the Yad Hashem, the Amitos Hashem, at its core. So he concludes the piece by saying, by Cheda Egel we lost, at the Cheda Egel, the Jewish people lost their connection to Hashem. V'hine ba'asiyas ha'egel, it's the next paragraph. V'hine ba'asiyas ha'egel, Klal Yisrael lost the Hasagas ha'avdus b'shnei b'chinos ha'el. By the Egel, the Jews lost both awarenesses. Right? The Egel was so negative that it overshadowed the miracles of Mitzrayim, and it overshadowed the recognition of Hashem at Kabbalah Satorah. And then afterwards, when they built the Mishkan, they got one level back. Which level did they get back, he says? He says, through the building of the Mishkan, they came back to recognizing Hashem through miracles. But to recognize Hashem with the clarity they had at Har Sinai, that was lost. And therefore, he concludes in the final paragraph in the piece, let's tie this into our psukim. Eile pekudei ha-mishkan. If you remember last week, we learned in Berditchever, we learned from Kedushas Levi, that pei kuf dalit sometimes means what? A loss or a lack. Eile pekudei ha-mishkan. What aspect is missing by the Mishkan? What's pei kuf dalit? What's lacking by the Mishkan? The answer is what? Asher pakad Moshe, Mishkan ha-edus it's called. Eile pekudei ha-mishkan. You know what was lost by the Mishkan? Mishkan ha-edus. That clarity and that realization of the Amitios HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we had at Har Sinai, that we never got back. Through the wondrous Mishkan, we were impressed by God through the miraculous Mishkan, the wondrous artistry of Bezalel and Aliyah, which defied nature. We were impressed by Nisim. And we had a relationship with Hashem through that. We had a Hashras HaShechina through that. But the clarity that we had at Har Sinai was lost. And maybe won't return until what? Until Mashiach comes, Umal Ha'aretz Deyas Hashem. And the world is once again filled with the absolute awareness and connection to Hashem. And therefore, we're left scrounging for little bits of miracle to try to make sure we hang on to Hashem. Because unfortunately, Cheda Egel took away that clarity we once had at Har Sinai. Okay, a deep idea to think about Pesach, Shavuos, Karban Toda. Okay, turn to the page. Turn the page to the piece that begins right before, the piece right before Ubitzal ben Uri. You see Ubitzal ben Uri? The piece right before that, O Yivuah. What page is that? Reish Lamed Gimel, okay? Reish Lamed Gimel, O Yivuah, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. A simple piece. We'll end Pekudei with this simple piece, and then I just want to talk about Parshas Parah for a couple minutes. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan,
it says that the counting was done by Moshe, right? Asher pukad alpi Moshe, avodas halaviyim biyad isamar ben Aaron HaKohen. Very interesting. Right? These are the accounts of the Mishkan, Mishkan HaEdus, that were drawn up by Moshe's orders. Asher pukad alpi Moshe, avodas halaviyim, for the work of the Leviim, biyad isamar ben Aaron HaKohen, under the leadership of the son of Aaron, who is a Kohen. That the Leviim should be under the jurisdiction of the Kohanim. Chever, what does Levi represent in Pnimius? What does Kohen represent in Pnimius? And let's learn something that's very much a theme we've spoken about in Kedushas Levi. Haklal hu, Shehashem Yisbarach mashpia tamid al amu Yisrael chesed v'rachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always does good for Jews. And always does good, period. Hashem is the Makor HaTov. U'mashe lefamim chas v'shalom ba'ezeh davar ra al Yisrael. So when something superficially bad happens to Klal Yisrael, and certainly to our natural senses, we sometimes see things that are bad. The bad thing is really just a stepping stone to what? To something good. It's a secret. It's a secret. It's a bracha in disguise. When it looks bad on the surface, you have to remind yourself time and time again that one day I'll be able to look back and recognize that why this was actually good for me. Excuse me. But if God forbid the bad thing doesn't lead to a good thing, a bad thing which wouldn't be a stepping stone to something good, Hashem would never give you. You have to chazer that rule. It's sometimes very hard to live with this, but we've seen it many times in Kedusha Slavi. The Berditchever wants us to believe that if Hashem put us in a particular situation, it's for our own good. In the immediate, in the short run, very difficult to see. But you have to realize that if it was really bad for you, Hashem wouldn't do it to you. Ki ikker mashe Hashem Yisbarach sholeach ra liYisrael, hu kidei she'acher kach yavo mizeh tova liYisrael. The bad is just being sent to you as a means of coming to a different type and a new type of good. And that's hinted to in our pasuk. Eile pikudei ha-mishkan. Yeah, all of the pikudei, pek of dal, all of my shortcomings. Who's in charge of the asher pukad al pi Moshe? Who's in charge here? Avodas ha-leviyim, Biyad Itamar ben Aaron HaKohen. Yeah? The Leviim are under the jurisdiction of Isamar ben Aaron HaKohen. Levi is under the jurisdiction of Kohen. What does that mean? He says, it's Pashut. V'zeh HaRemes. Ki Levi, we know that Levi always is Merames to Midas HaMishpat. And Kohen, a Kohen, is the concept of Chesed. Chesed is Gematria 72. It has three letters in it. 72 plus 3 is 75. It's Gematria Kohen. Kohanim are chesed, Leviim are midas hadin. We'll take the Berditchever's word for that. It's based on a Zohar. Uvezeh haremes. And that's what our pasuk is hinting to. Avodas ha-Leviim. When you have a mishpat in your life and you're going through a tough time, when you feel that midas hadin is getting the better of you, just realize that that Levi, that midas hadin, is always biyad isamar ben Aaron HaKohen. It can only be given to you if it's what? If it's under the jurisdiction of kahuna. If it's a stepping stone to chesed. Hu midas ha-chesed. Dahainu shemidas mishpat hu biyad ha-chesed. U'kesheyavo mizeh chesed, oz midas mishpat osa l'sha midaso. And therefore, in order to allow that chesed to take place, there's a temporary moment of what? Of mishpat, of midas hadin. But again, the Levi works for the Kohen. And then when that chesed finally comes, avalim lo haya midas ha-chesed, if there wouldn't be chesed, then az ein midas mishpat osa mishpato. Then there couldn't be mishpat, there couldn't be midas hadin. That's what's hinted to here. Ki amishkan romez alam tokas adinim. The mishkan was the fixing of cheder egel, the softening of the blow, the tshuva of Klal Yisrael. Just realize that what? That through this hamtokas adinim, sometimes it's a bumpy road to get there, but just realize over and over again that avodas halaviyim is biyad isamar ben Aaron HaKohen. That Levi is always being guided by Kohen. That it's the true intention of Kohen, of chesed, which sometimes causes us to go through a challenge, but it's always to build us up and not, God forbid, to break us. Okay? Ad Khan, the words of the Kedushas Levi on Parshas Kekuda. If you turn back before Parshas Vayakel, you'll see a very long piece on Parshas Par. We'll read a little bit inside and I'll summarize a lot of it outside. But it's really important to see this piece. Extremely important. And it helps us understand the transition out of Purim. Strong connections between Purim and Para. Purim is the Yom Tov Ad Lo Yada, where a Jew admits, I don't really know what's going on. Para is the ultimate chok, the ultimate mitzvah that we don't understand. The para duma is beyond our understanding. Zos chukas haTorah. We don't understand. Shlomo HaMelech wanted very badly to understand para duma. Okay, let's read from the beginning. We'll just read a little bit inside. Levar mashikosuf. To understand what Shlomo HaMelech said in Koheles, Amarti ech kama, I have said that I will become wise, v'hi rechok mimeni. And yet it is beyond me. There's something I can't grasp. Hi rechoka. What is the v'hi rechoka that he's referring to? What couldn't Shlomo HaMelech understand? Couldn't understand para duma. The one thing that Shlomo HaMelech couldn't understand was para duma. The Svarim bring a remez that v'hi rechoka is gematria para duma. 341. Marti echama, I wanted to become wise. V'hi rechoka, the paraduma, k'matra v'hi rechoka, is mimeni, it's beyond me. V'hu be'emes yesh latam, k'mavur b'yisodo shor Moshe darshan. But the question is, we do understand paraduma. Rashi tells us the reason for paraduma. Right? It's found in the teachings of Moshe darshan, quoted by Rashi. Tavo imo techaper al bana. The para, the mommy cow, is a kapara for the eagle, the baby cow. Let the mother come and clean up her child's mess. We made a big mess with a baby calf called an eagle. The eagle is up. Let the para come, let the mother cow come and be a kapara, right, for the mistakes of her child. In other words, let the big cow, the para duma, be a tikkun for her eagle. So we do understand para duma. What's the chok? What's so mysterious? What couldn't Shlomo Melech understand? V'yitzuref l'zeh divrei ha-paitan asher dvarav heima bruach ha-kodesh. And furthermore, let's look. Most people don't say this today, but let's look in the back of your siddur, the special piyut, the yotzer, the yotros for Parshas Parah, right? Magnificent tefillos that are written in Beruach HaKodesh, says the Berditchever. And what does it say there in that tefila? Again, that some people would insert into the Musaf on Parshas Parah. L'taher temeyim, l'tamei tahorim, ba'omer kadosh. Parah has an inverse property, that what? It's l'taher temeyim. It makes pure the impure. It makes impure the pure. Be'omer kadosh. Be'omer, what do you mean be'omer kadosh? V'chol zeh tzorach bir. Ma inyan omro be'omer kadosh. What's the be'omer kadosh? It's the sprinkling. It's the preparing. It's the transmission. It's the transportation of the para ashes, and the sprinkling that either makes pure or impure. Okay, famous mistake that people make. The sprinkler of the para duma ashes does not become tameh. People think that the one who's tamei mace becomes pure, and the guy who sprinkles him becomes impure. It's not true. The one who touches and handles the para duma ashes in preparing them is the one who becomes impure. The one who actually does the sprinkling on the guy who's impure, he himself does not become impure. Okay? People always say, right? They know that someone becomes tamei through the para duma, and someone becomes tar. I know it becomes tar. The one who's impure and gets sprinkled upon becomes pure. Who becomes impure? Not the one who sprinkles. It's a big mistake. I was thinking maybe on Sunday we should have a shir on that, just to like get that mistake out of people's heads, to understand who becomes tameh, who becomes tar, what exactly happens, right? But there is a reality that the one who prepares the para aduma ashes, the one who prepares the efer chatas, as it's referred to, the part is called the chatas by the Torah, that person does become tameh, right? So how could it be that purifying waters make a person tameh? That's the paradox of the para. And what exactly is the paitan alluding to in this tefillah, v'omer kadosh? V'yizbar inyan para. So we can explain the inyan of para as follows. Open up a Nusach Svar Tzidr, come out to the first page, and you'll see a passage called Psach Eliyahu. Eliyahu began v'amar, and he said. And Eliyahu describes the Sfiros. And Eliyahu describes Kuchabrichu. And Eliyahu says, it's a part of the Tikkunei Zohar, it's the Hakdama to the Tikkunei Zohar, Da'an tu chad v'lo v'chushban. You're one without calculation. You're a one, a different type of oneness. Right, Antu Ilah al Kol Ilah. You are elevated beyond all elevation, Hashem. Stima de Kol Stimin. Hidden, concealed, more secretive than any secret. Leis Machshava Tvisa Bach Klal. No mind can grasp you at all. We don't know anything about Hashem, which is depressing since we spend many hours a day trying to learn about Hashem. And yet Eliyahu Navi tells us that no mind grasps you klal at all. We have no understanding of a Kadosh Baruch Hu whatsoever. Hudvar v'zala umdim bruma sholom. So these very lofty words stand at the height of the universe. Yesod kol yesodos va'amud ha'ovdim laheir ulahair es leiv v'nei adam lidros es Hashem b'chol libo v'nafsho. These words are guidance to any thoughtful, honest, seeking Jew of his avoda in this world. It's the foundation of his avoda. What does that mean? V'hu al shnei drachim. So the Berditcher said, you have to understand, there are two ways to look at our knowledge and our understanding of God. There's a part of ourselves that says, Hashem, I totally get you. I'm totally good with how you run things. I totally get it. I see it in my life. I feel it in my life. I've studied your Torah. I totally grasp you. There's a part of us that thinks we get it. And there's a part of us that knows we don't understand anything. That's a hard thing to live with. V'hu al shnei drachim. Ha'alif. Al isgalis elukuso yisbarach al kol prate hanevraim v'hayitzurim v'hanasim. The revelation of godliness that is found within every detail of creation in all of the different realms. V'chol mashiish ba'olam hakol mimenu. There's a part of me that says, "Yeah, I see you in all of this, Hashem. I get that this is you." V'ein kol nimtzu mibeladav, and there's nothing besides you. Uvilto ein shum kiyum mitzius le'echad me'anevraim. Without you, there's nothing for anyone for anything. V'ata machayas kula. Ata mechayes kulam, like we say in Pesukei Dezimra. It's a pasuk in Nechemiah. V'ata, and you sustain all of reality. V'ata. Ata, you talk to God, you? I don't talk to rabbis where I respect you. I say you. Does Rosh Hechter have a minute to, I can ask you a question. I asked Rosh Hechter a question. So I said you. Excuse me, Rabbi, I said you. Right? Does Rabbi have a moment to speak? I don't say to you. And Hashem, we say you. Why? Because there's a part of our relationship with Hashem that's you. Yeah, I get it. I recognize you. I totally see you within everything. I know that you're. This is you. You're the one who's creating every moment. And that's why I can say very direct. I can say straight to you, ki'iluhu musag, as if I understand you. You, yeah, you. I can point to you. I understand you. I get you. V'inin ha'asoga al-prate ha'nimtzoim. And I get your role within everything. That's one part of our relationship with Hashem. That's the revealed aspect of our relationship with Hashem. That's called ata. Achein kasher yizboni na'adam. But when a person thinks and he realizes, hey, godla va'atzma mod, he thinks about Hashem be'etzem, and he says, do I understand anything about Hashem? I'm a human and he's God, which means by definition I can't understand anything. Kilo your ani ha'adam v'chai, as the pasuk said in Kisisa. Because you can't see, you can't put your eye upon it at all and survive. No human being can see it in this world. We don't get it at all. Rak shezeh lanu yudia berura v'atzuma shekol ma shenizhavu kol ha'olamos hakol mimenu v'u mekayimam. Yes, I know that he's responsible for it, but I have no idea how, and I have no understanding of it. And the essential value of Hashem, Hashem's hand within everything, I don't get it one bit. Leis machshava tfisa beikla. My mind doesn't grasp anything of it. And that's what we call v'lezad zeh yituar bo milas hu. There's ata and then there's hu. The Berditcher says, the same way when you speak about a person. When I talk about someone who I know, I say you. Right? Can you do me a favor? Yeah. Can you please, whatever. When I'm talking about someone who I don't have a connection to, it's distance, right? Oh, he, that guy over there, him, who? Right? Ata is the person I'm connected to. Who is the person who's detached from me? So Kadosh Baruch Hu is called Ata, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is called who? Says the Berditchever, who is the Shem Nistar? Ki kein derech olam. We talk straight to a person, you. So that's a person I grasp, I understand, I'm connected to. But when I talk in the more distant, right, Nistar, I say who? Oh, him. I've heard about him. Right? I've heard about him. I don't actually know him. I've never met him. I don't understand him. You are my friend, but him, he, I don't know about that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has these two different expressions. Okay, jump to the next paragraph. Nimtza mikol hanal. So what do we learn from all of this? What a crazy paradox. On the one hand, to feel so close to Hashem that I can say, Baruch Ata, but then I draw back. Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech, Ha'olam. I use terms that describe God in a way that's beyond. Right? I told you from Rosh Chodesh one time, that's why we shuckle during davening. Nochach v'nistar. Nochach v'nistar. I draw close, and then I run away. Because that's really how I feel with Hashem. I want to be so close to him, but I also recoil because I don't I don't feel I have a right to have anything to do with him. It's a hard thing to balance. She'ikr b'chinas avodaseinu, heich she'b'chinas ein sof nelam, ve'ein anu mesigim oso. Rak anu yodin she'ish matzoi hamamtzi kol hametzius. The primary focus in our avodas Hashem is the ad delo yada, is the zos chukas haTorah, is the para aduma, is the part of my life that I don't understand. That has to be the ikr. Because God forbid to think that I really get it. If I get too caught up in the ata, then I totally, that's the biggest sign that something's really off. There has to be a lot more who than there is ata in my life. A lot more concealed Rabbona Sholem than there is revealed Rabbona Sholem. He says at the end of that paragraph, Iker magmasenu, our primary orientation towards Elukos, al pi mashal, velo bechinas tfisa v'asaga klal. It has to be only as a mashal, whatever I think I understand, I know it's just a very watered down parable of something that I don't understand at all. Yeah? It's the cliff notes of the book. So I think I read the book. You didn't read the book. You read the cliff notes. You skim the cliff notes. Right? You're acting as if you read the book. It's dishonest. Admit, you heard about it, you know a little bit about it, you got the synopsis, but you didn't put the time. You don't know. You don't really understand, emotionally connect yourself to the characters and what was going through their minds and their hearts during the story, during the sipur. So therefore, the ikkar is what? The ikkar is to focus on the part that I don't understand. The person who gets sprinkled from a distance, says the Berditchever, becomes pure. But the person who touches the para ashes directly in preparing them, the person who's nogeya, who touches, is tameh. Why? It's mamash, a beautiful vart. The Berditchever says, a person who thinks that he's making contact, that he's really touching, he's really holding, such a person, demyonos, you're crazy. You're tameh. You think you grasp Hashem? Leis machshav etfisvei klal, says Eliyahu HaNavi. Can't grasp anything. We don't understand anything. You're a oneness that I've never experienced and can't even begin to understand. So if I'm making contact with para, if I think I understand the secret of para duma, literally touching, right, physically making contact, then I'm tameh. If I'm being sprinkled from a distance, then I'm tahor. Because then I understand I'm not making direct contact. He gives a mashal. He says when a king says to his subjects, do what I tell you to do. Right? King commands him to do something. So he does it right away. He doesn't ask questions. He doesn't need to... A true Eved doesn't need to understand what the king's intention was. The king asks you to do it, you do it. And that's the foundation, says the Berditchever, of all of our avodas Hashem. The second you think that you're holding it, you're touching it, you're grasping it, that's a big sign that there's a serious problem. So says the Berditchever, go to the second to last paragraph, third to last paragraph. V'inyan zeh ba'atzmo mora alav, ki hu mechaper al maisa ega. This is gevaldik what he says. The para, we said, is what? Is a tikkun for cheda egel. You know where cheda egel comes from? You know how there could be a cheda egel? Look what he says. Ki ikr b'chinas maisa egel, hu al derech v'yechzu elokim. V'yechzu elokim. The pasuk says in Shemos Perach of Dal, the end of Mishpatim, a very strange series of psukim, it says that they perceived God. They saw God. V'yechzu. Tochazi. Come and see. V'yechzu. They grasped. They saw God. Right? Whatever that meant, some type of revelation, more so than ever in history. They saw things. And they said, we get it now. Right? They were buddy-buddy. They were comfortable. What does it say in those psukim? Vayachzor elokim, what do they do next? And they sat down to eat. Hashem's our friend. We're going to go for lunch with God. Chazal and the Rishonim are very critical of those psukim. How do you see God? How do you perceive God and then sit down to have a lunch? If you really saw something, you shouldn't be human anyway. You shouldn't want to eat anymore. Others say in a more positive way, they made a celebration, a sudas mitzvah, whatever it is. But the fact that yechzu elokim, you thought you grasped it. V'ta'usam haya liyosam sovrim, ki yisigwas b'chinos yizbarach shemo. We understand God. We can make contact with it. We could have some type of physical manifestation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Ramban has a beautiful way of explaining egel. The Ramban says the egel was what? They wanted to make a physical manifestation of one of the things that's found on the divine chariot, on a Kodesh Baruch Hu's throne. One of the four symbols is a shur. So they made something that was a physical manifestation. They weren't denying God. It wasn't a avodah zarah, but they thought they got it. When a Jew thinks he grasps it, he thinks he's uncovered the secret, what does the pasuk say? The Berditchever says, Moshe sees kif parua. Kif parua. What does parua mean? It means that something was uncovered. They thought they had uncovered the secret. Milashon giloi. Shenizgala yosur me'atzarech. They thought they got it more than they really did. V'chol amosiv goreya. And the more you try to understand God and convince yourself they actually have understood, then God forbid a person slips into a very dangerous place. And therefore the ikkar of one's life has to be zos chukas, not a para, zos chukas ha-Torah. The whole principle of which Torah is built upon. The way to make sure you don't make your own avodah zaras is to realize I don't understand anything. And I can't do anything on my own. Oh, I get it now. So now I can have my own chidush, my own input. I don't understand anything. That's the lesson of the para aduma. And that's how the para aduma is a tikkun for the cheda egel. So this is a beautiful hamshach. You understand it in a new way. Why para aduma is a very beautiful hamshacha out of the yom tov of Purim. You come out of a Purim, right, and you achieve the sense of ad lo yada, a certain bittul to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we try to mechazik that by attaching ourselves to the world of para aduma. Zos chukas haTorah. Yes, there is a revealed aspect, the part of Hashem that I get. I see Him in everything. I live with Him. I can say ata to Him. But there's a part of me that has to always know that I don't really actually understand anything. And with that bittul and that humility to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then a person is able to make sure that he doesn't cross any lines, doesn't step past any boundaries. He's able to perceive Hashem, but not, God forbid, to think he gets to the point that he's going to start making his own ego. Okay? Very deep and important idea. Okay, we should be zochet to have Hashras HaShechin in our lives. Shkoyach. La 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 la